This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More than half the water that leaves the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board's treatment plants seems to be seeping through broken pipes and in the ground before it even reaches customers. A lot of money tied up with treating that water, and as just another example of continuing problems over and above $134 million in unpaid water bills, almost half the agency's budget. And here to talk to us about it is H.J. Bosworth, local licensed civil engineer, also with levees.org. Harold, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Newell. Good morning.
Good morning to you. So when we think about this issue, first off, it's troubling in the first place, but it's something that we've probably recognized and realized has been an ongoing concern for a number of years. But when we think about it from an infrastructure standpoint, the remediation for this problem is how big and how long?
What New Orleans has that no other cities have is very, very soft soil. Now, the water pipes that are the network that spreads all around the city has elbows and tees and fittings and whatnot. A lot of times those are held together by the soil. In 2005, when the city flooded after the flood walls fell over, the soil got more saturated than it had ever been. And the joints that were being held in place by, you know, blocking that were being held in place by adjacent soil came loose. The pressure of the pipes pushed the elbows loose. You know, geysers sprung up into the streets in Lakeview and Gentilly and New Orleans East and the Ninth Ward. And that's just been something that the Sewage and Water Board's had to deal with ever since then. Now, I was under the impression, maybe the mistaken impression, that FEMA was giving them money to fix those, you know, failed streets, the submerged streets program. There was a submerged pipes program. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, here we are in, you know, an area that's built in soft soil, and the water is being held, in, you know, in the pipes by, you know, a lot of times just the soil that's nearby, and that has failed us all over the place. And finding these leaks, if they're major leaks, they should be pretty easy. You should be able to see them in the streets because all of these pipes are in street right-of-ways.
Well, when you talk about – so when we think about that situation and that challenge, you know, we've heard numbers, incredible numbers, as to what the infrastructure repairs would be. And then more importantly, what would be any idea of a time period, how long it would take to remediate this problem?
It's a matter of how you go about it. If you use the same, I don't know how many trucks the Sewage and Water Board has, maybe 20 or so, and with the same eight guys on each truck, and if you're doing repairs with the same crews, and those crews are working, what, 60, 70 hours a week?
Right.
And getting paid for that overtime, which is a ridiculous waste of time and money. You know, it would take forever, maybe never be completed in our lifetimes. You know, the way to approach this is a capital improvement project, and the capital improvement project would, you know, take the information that they have. Now, the Sewage and Water Board has studies where they do leak detection studies, and they do drain line video and whatnot. So they've got a lot of information there. I don't know that there are people in the Sewage and Water Board that know to take that information and to turn it into a capital improvement project, but that's what really needs to be done.
When you think about wasted, the water that's wasted, the study that was done said that that accounts for about 20% of the cost of running the entire water system. When you think of it in those terms financially, I know you're an engineer and not an accountant, but you know, you're always looking at the cost efficiencies of projects. They can't afford to not fix this situation, because this is a diminishing return every year that gets compounded, because it's not only rain and soft soils, but it's exacerbated with drought as well. So if we have an elongated period of time where we have no rain, we have continued water main breaks as well, correct?
Yes, because as the soils dry, they shrink. And as the soils shrink, then the pipes move. And as the pipes move, sometimes the joints open up. Yeah, the joints of the pipes underground aren't necessarily, you know, rigidly connected together. They're just slipped, you know, where there's a bell and a spigot. And
so 82 million gallons of water processed per day is lost, more than 55% of all the water that it produces.
That's a big number. That's a big number, and, you know, certainly everybody that lives in the city can certainly identify some sort of water leak. You know, we know what happens uptown. We know what happens in Lakeview probably a lot. And the Sewage and Water Board needs a better way to address those problems.
When we think about materials available today that weren't available, obviously, when these systems were put in, are there materials that are more conducive to the challenges that we have with our soil structure?
Absolutely, Noel. I mean, nowadays, a very common material is HDPE, or high-density polyethylene, the same black pipe that the gas companies use, that the fiber optic companies use, that the Sewage and Water Board was resistant to using, you know, some number of years ago because they were worried about the joints. But in modern times, all of those joints are fused together through a heat welding process, and they don't come apart at the seams. You know, all of the taps are mechanical, and all the taps are made of bronze and bolted, and, you know, nice threaded connections that make a good solid way to keep leaks down. Now, the Sewage and Water Board uses small diameter polyethylene pipe, the little black pipes, to repair the service lines. But the service lines offer another sort of problem to the system, because there are probably 100,000 or more service lines in the city of New Orleans that are made of solid lead, that are constantly being broken by oak tree roots movement and ground swelling and pumping and people driving over them and whatnot. And it was only a few months ago where a neighbor of mine had a water leak in front of his house, and I walked over there to take a look at, see what the seven guys in the orange truck were doing. And there were probably 12 feet of lead pipes sitting on the side of the trench, and they had, you know, another 20 feet of polyethylene black plastic pipes that they had used to reconfigure all of the service lines. So anytime you've got a leak in front of a house, a lot of times that could be a lead pipe, and you've got to have special training to deal with that. You know, the Sewage and Water Board has the right fittings to, you know, clamp onto the lead and minimize the amount of contact that the water has with the uncoated lead. And our system coats the lead with a lot of calcium. Everybody knows New Orleans has hard water, and that calcium helps to save us from having our health compromised by lead containing water.
Do you, I want to get back to this time issue, because there's been some reports where the mayor's been meeting with caucuses around the state, trying to encourage them to get more of a lion's share of tourism dollars, and saying that, you know, this is going to get the city off of the state's back in a much quicker fashion. But, you know, as I kind of try to put the numbers around this thing, I'm not sure that's going to be a logical and a conclusion, not in my lifetime, not in my kid's lifetime, and maybe not in my kid's kid's lifetime. Is that too hard of a point of view?
I don't think so. I mean, the mayor is doing, she hit the ground running with this problem. You know, unlike our former mayor, who spent 8 years not talking about this and not really dealing with it at all. So she's really got a mess on her hands, and I commend her for tackling it and realizing and asking for help any way she can. You know, here's a here are entities around the city, the zoo, the New Orleans tourism corporations or entities that do have a lot of cash and that may be able to, you know, give the city some help. They use water. They use the city services. They know the city needs it. But for them to not share in...
Do they not pay for the water? Do you know?
I don't believe that any school or city-owned building or, in fact, I don't even think nonprofits pay for water a lot of times.
Well, that's a problem that needs to be remediated, because that would be a shifting of finances, you know, from one to the other to help with the infrastructure needs. We can debate this other thing. I just don't like this representation that in the near future the city is not going to be needy of the state. I don't think that's a fair representation. And from what you're telling me, you don't believe it is either.
It's the state of Louisiana would not be part of the United States had it not been for New Orleans. You know, way back from 1803, the United States wanted New Orleans. They got Louisiana. And Louisiana needs to realize that New Orleans is important. You know, certainly it's more important than just a playground, a place to, you know, go to have a party and come back.
That's our predominant industry in this city, whether we like it or not. I mean, it's a stark reality, right?
It's the port of New Orleans, in actuality, that is the most important to the nation.
Right. I get that, but I'm talking about as it relates to our microeconomy, our tourism-related dollars and spend are what's really driving our economy.
Right, because the Port of New Orleans is a state agency and not at all a city agency.
Right. All right. Well, I was just kind of curious about the time period. Harold, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your observations.
Thank you, Newell. Good talking to you.
Harold J. Bosworth, local licensed civil engineer. I talked to Harold quite a bit about the levees. He worked with levees.org and has been very much a community activist and working with any number of groups to bring about a more educated approach to any number of issues, and we appreciate his time. I want to hear from you. Should we be grabbing money from other agencies when we can't get our own house in order? The possibility of $134 million in unpaid water bills. It doesn't seem to end. From a news perspective, this is the gift that keeps on giving, but that's not a positive thing. We'll be right. So we're losing more than half the water that's processed through the water treatment facility due to leaks in the system. And then we find out yesterday, as there is a thirst and a quest for information from the Sewage and Water Board, that there could be $134 million in unpaid bills racked up by customers over the past 3 years, according to a story by Jeff Adelson for the Morning Advocate. That is close to 20% of the total money billed by the water and sewer systems during that 3-year period of time. So this gets revealed during a public meeting, Public Works Committee meeting of the council, and I must commend the council for dividing up any number of disciplines and looking at it and appointing council members to those committees and playing this oversight. What's really troublesome, and I've been very supportive of the mayor and hope that and the city needs to succeed. There's no doubt about that. It was pointed out by Harold Bosworth. The city is key to the state. What I don't understand is why she would call the advocate and complain about the advocate reporting on this data and says, what do you want to, you want to screw the city? If you report on these figures, you could screw the deal. Is that what you want? Who's doing the work trying to get the money we need? Me, she says. And that, you know, obviously, these negotiations are kind of ticklish and are held in balance, but Mayor, you're all wet on this one. You got to be transparent. I mean, everybody wants to understand where we are, and if we don't understand where we are, we're not going to know how to get to where we want to be. And it can't be that you're going to hide information. What do you want to do? You want to screw the state? I mean, I think information is power. You got to have all the empirical data in order to make a learned decision about what's going to be the best strategy in moving forward. Obviously, there are some very low-hanging fruit issues that need to be resolved by the Sewage and Water Board. And what was revealed yesterday is that they continue to struggle with doing so. That doesn't mean that they're not making any progress. And it doesn't mean that you, Mayor, are to blame. But what it does mean is that we have to continue to look at ourselves critically in the mirror and prioritize the issues that we are presented with and the challenges that we are presented with. And we should not be talking about killing a story, hiding information, hiding the ball, and not being completely and totally transparent with our partners in the state of Louisiana in trying to craft some deal to save an organization that has been completely run inefficiently, probably for the last 40 years, and very much highlighted in the past 8 years under the Landrieu administration. That just is not the way to foster a working relationship with a partner, meaning the state of Louisiana. I've had my reservations about taking money from one of the primary generators of revenue in this city, the tourism industry. We want to now punish them for their fiscal responsibility and success in taking money away from them. That's like biting the hand that feeds you. I'm all for trying to craft some solution to this and figuring out where we can get some additional revenues as it relates to the challenges that this Sewage and Water Board faces. But it seems to me that in the short term, there needs to be a more aggressive approach in the prioritization of what we will fund out of the city for the purposes of the infrastructure needs of the Sewage and Water Board first. And there may need to be a showing that there is greater movement in turning this around. This is not a criticism of Gaston Corbin, but when he said yesterday, we still can't get our hands around how much money we are owed, that is a problem. And it's hard to go hat in hand to others and asking them to bleed for you when I'm not necessarily confident that we're bleeding for ourselves. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. $134 million projected as uncollected bills for water. And I think that the mayor's and I agree with one of the texts. She needs to be commended. She's trying to find solutions to the problems, albeit I believe that the approach that she's taken is flawed. But she's trying. But I think she's lost credibility, in my mind, around this issue when she's asking the paper to kill a story about $134 million being owed and uncollected, and that we don't have the Sewage and Water Board fiscal house in order, because it may screw up a deal that she's trying to work in fragile negotiations with state officials about providing money for their finances. Who would want to invest in an organization that can't handle their money? And when you sit there and there's been a financial analysis that has been done by folks with the Public Works Committee that have looked at what was billed and what was collected and noticed that those numbers are not matching up. They're not at a collection rate that's even remotely close to being acceptable. Because I can tell you, where I live, if you don't pay your water bill, you're going to get a notice that your water is going to be disconnected. And you better get down there and pay it, otherwise you're not going to have any water. You don't get to slide for 6 months, 7 months, 3 years, and not pay your water bill and continue to receive a service. So I understand the slippery slope, but I don't think, because she could not provide any data to the contrary about whether or not these numbers were accurate. And therein lies the problem. So, you know, when you ask the advocate, what are you trying to do, screw the city? The question has to be asked of you, what are you trying to do, screw the state? You have to be upfront and honest about the predicament in which you find yourself in. This is not a three-card Monty game. And in the end, you're talking about taxpayers' money. I don't know about you, but I think the taxpayers want there to be an open and honest negotiation process. Put all your cards on the table because you're coming hat in hand. And I think that you lose credibility on the issue. You lose credibility on the approach. And it doesn't bode well. And you're not thinking with emotional intelligence. I understand that this is a very difficult situation that the city finds themselves in, and they got to work through this process. It's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. But we can't be killing stories. We can't be killing basic reporting on the outcome of an open meeting, a public works committee meeting, whereby information is provided there. And your own executive director, of which you serve as the chairman of the board of the Sewage and Water Board, tells you, I can't disagree with that number. It's so bad, I don't know what the number is. I think for the sake of continuing the conversation and the negotiations with whomever is out there, that you need to put all your cards on the table. Let's go to line one. Van, what say you, Van?
Yes, I think y'all's discussion about the Sewage and Water Board is the least problem New Orleans has.
What would be the biggest problem?
If we'd have got that Hurricane Michael that hit Florida with a 20 or 30-foot tidal swell from the east, how much water do you think would have been in the city of New Orleans?
I don't know.
Losing land every day, and they worrying about water and everything else. It looks like they would try to build up the land to try to slow these tidal swells and water down.
I mean, look, coastal restoration is a challenge. Obviously, we're working with the federal government. I know that it's on the mayor's radar as well. She's talked about it before. But if you don't believe that we have a crisis with the Sewage and Water Board from a fiscal standpoint, I think you might be missing, you know, the whole conversation here, because they obviously have an issue. The mayor recognizes it, the executive director, the council, and others, everybody is on the one-yard line on this issue.
No, I'm not saying you don't have an issue with the water. What I'm saying is that's the least in all of this problem.
Well, we got any number of issues, but that's one that she's responsible for taking care of. Van, thanks so much for calling. We're going to get to a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll come back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. Mayor Cantrell did not dispute the numbers. In fact, she credited her administration with already being aware of them, but said reporting on the figures promoted a false narrative that the Sewage and Water Board could do without money she says it needs for the city's very survival, according to Jeff Adelson's story in the Morning Advocate. I talked the other day about the false narrative that was being created that the city of New Orleans was going to be stepping back from asking and demanding any additional help from the state if they were to get this money. In fact, when the mayor visited one of the caucuses in the Lafayette area, one of the legislators from Lafayette basically said exactly that, and that the sooner that they got off of the state's back, the sooner monies would be distributed to their area. Well, when you add up what is required, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, my kid's lifetime, or maybe my kid's kid's lifetime. So when we're talking about false narratives, I was struck by that story in that interview, and I was like, what is he talking about? And I'm not sure that folks understand the breadth and depth, and obviously we're worried about that, and that's why the mayor called the advocate and tried to kill the story, which I don't think was a smart thing to do. Let's go to line one, talk to Ron in New Orleans. What say you, Ron?
Hey, Noel, it's Ron. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I wanted to call in and basically agree with you. I love the show. I've been listening to you since you started, and I could say that I'm a political twin of you. I agree with virtually everything that you say.
That's more than my wife, I can promise you.
I think the big issue to me is whether Mayor Cantrell can actually learn on the job, because she has to understand the value of transparency. And it goes back to me when she appointed our new police chief. He may do a great job, but when you have the issues that we have with the police department and you're dealing with the crime problem that we have, and you make national news every time something happens, and everybody knows how bad it is here, I think that that's when you go out and you actually do a big, broad search for the very best. And what she did, I think she ran off the prior chief, but she just went ahead and said, okay, this is the new chief. So for this latest thing, and I read that this morning in The Advocate, I wasn't really surprised. And that's why I say, to me, the most important thing is she capable of learning on the job? Because I don't think she's got what it takes at this time.
And in all fairness to the mayor, I do want to point out that she's really looking for this cash infusion for drainage, not so much water. And I understand that it's a complex issue, but that's her job to articulate it in such a fashion to have people understand what it is that she's actually trying to do, right?
I agree. And one of your earlier callers talked about the seven guys that showed up in the yellow vests. And every time something happens, like in my neighborhood, they came to clean up my drain. They did one drain. They didn't do the drain on the other side of the street right across from it. I came out. I counted eight guys standing there, one person in the hole doing the work, and there was a ninth employee in the truck. And I walked out. I was just going to offer them restroom services because I lived on the block, and I just thought that might be nice. And I asked them, I said, well, are y'all training people? And the answer was, no, we're just out here doing some work. And I stopped at that point, but I realized one person's working, and seven guys are standing there watching, playing on their phones, and another person's sitting in the truck. So I think when you say the water is leaking out of the system, I think a lot of the cash that's leaking out of that system is labor that's just not happening, because these guys just weren't working, and they were out here for 2.5 hours.
Well, I think there's any number of examples that productivity is leaking as well. And obviously any number of stories come in, just as you articulated from callers saying that they've seen this happening all the time. We know that there's not been coordination between the streets department and the sewage and water board. That's better. I know for a fact that it's better. I've heard a number of stories where there's been more productivity there. I just don't think that you hide the ball, though. I think you have to come forward with all of the most relevant information that you have and share it with everyone to understand that the crisis that they find themselves in. That's my approach.
I agree completely, and that's what I told your screener. When he asked me what I was calling about, I said I was calling to agree with Newell on the transparency issue. Because when you're transparent and you show people what you're dealing with, then all of a sudden it makes people realize, okay, that's a big problem.
Absolutely.
Now, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yep.
Okay, if you have a big problem like sewage and water board, we've got to be able to figure that out. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate the call. Should the city of New Orleans request money from an effectively run operation to aid a department that has been run inefficiently? 88% of the respondents say no. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we've been talking about the trials and tribulations of the Sewage and Water Board, and a new number surfaces that about $134 million is owed to the Water Department for unpaid bills for water. On a text line, you kiss the mayor's butt every time she's on. Folks, I tried to be fair and balanced. It can't be negative, negative, negative. And I tried to, give kudos to the mayor where I think she earns those kudos. It's just an opinion. But when she comes on, I try to let her get her message across to the city of New Orleans and its constituents as to what it is that she's trying to accomplish. A lot of what she comes on and talks about on this show has not, completely revealed itself yet. So how can you be critical? I hope against hope that every program that she embarks upon is incredibly successful. I don't want her to fail. This is my home. I feel very strongly about it. It doesn't mean that she and I are always going to agree. And I respect the fact that she comes on. Same way with Donna Brazile. I love having Donna Brazile on. I got a bunch of nasty texts about that, too. I can go trashing Donna Brazile for what? She has a differing opinion. So what? We have a lot of differing opinions in the world today. I don't hate people that don't agree with me. I actually embrace them. I embrace the dissenting view. Why? I look upon it as a learning experience. I'm sure the mayor doesn't agree with anything that I'm saying today, and she has every right not to. That's her opinion. This is my opinion. And knowing the mayor, I'm sure she'll come back on the show and articulate the way that she feels about any number of issues. The last time we were on, we disagreed about taking money from the tourism industry. I think that that's an incredible revenue generator for the city. We ought to be figuring out how best to spend the monies available to increase tourism here so that we can get other people's money from outside of this economic region and have them spend it here. That's new money. A new wallet that walks into the city each and every day. And as a city, the more that we can extract from tourist wallets, the better off we're going to be. The more they leave here, the better we will be. In a better position, we will be to address the issues, the problems, and craft solutions to the problems that we're facing each and every day in this city. So it's not all about trying to trash the mayor. I want the mayor to succeed. I want the council to succeed. I want the entire region and the state to succeed every day. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.